Ladies and gentlemen, it's 5 o'clock on a Wednesday. My name is Dr. Andy. You must be listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on an afternoon when I'm going to reintroduce you to two fantastic poets and plug a big slew of events, including a poetry reading tonight. Why? Because it's poetry night here in the city of Davis. The Poetry Night Reading Series divides its time between Bistro 33 and the John Nitzulis Gallery. Tonight, at Bistro 33, Dennis Schmitz, Professor Emeritus of Poetry at Sac State University, author of 8 or more books, widely published in terms of his poetry, winner of a great number of awards, teacher of none other than Raymond Carver, among great other poets and writers. That'll be tonight at 8:30. But coming up next, we've got Josh Fernandez. He's got a brand new book of poetry out. It's called Spare Parts and Dismemberment. And he'll be our first guest with Eskimo Pie as our second here on this week's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back with Josh Fernandez. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to KDVS. I'd like to remind you that this radio show, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, is just one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this radio station, either at 8:30 in the morning or at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You can hear shows such as It's About You, This Week in Science, Speaking in Tongues, and Radio Parallax. If you'd like to find out more, then visit the website of KDVS. That's kdvs.org. Josh Fernandez is on the lifeline. He's my first guest this afternoon. Many listeners to KDVS know Josh, either because they're hipsters living in Midtown Sacramento, where it's been difficult over the last half decade to miss his writing, either in or on the cover of the Sacramento News and Review, or because they're longtime Davisites. Josh Fernandez was a Davis High attendee and a UC Davis grad. Right now, he's at California State University, earning a master's degree in English. Josh Fernandez writes for Spin.com, Boulder Weekly, San Antonio Current, and the Sacramento News and Review. Thank goodness for the internet, or he'd spend a lot of time on airplanes. The poetry of Josh Fernandez is widely published, and he's often asked to speak on a variety of topics, not necessarily poetic, though they become so in his brand new book of poetry. Topics such as ethnic diversity, abuse, and addiction, and his background as a writer and poet, and author of Spare Parts and Dismemberment from R.L. Crow Publications. He's recently been nominated for a Pushcart Prize for his poem, The Last Thing He Said. His new book was released on May 1st, but you might be able to get a copy at an upcoming event this coming Friday that Josh is going to tell us about. Enough introduction. Let's welcome the man. Josh Fernandez, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. It's good to be on the line with you.
Absolutely. So you've got a big event coming up this Friday in celebration of the publication of your book, Spare Parts and Dismemberment. Why don't you give us some of the details about that in case people don't already know, and then we'll dive into some talk about the poetry and the work you've been doing recently.
Yeah, definitely. The, I guess the important part is that it's going to be catered by Tres Hermanas.
Excellent. With,
yeah, so I think one just opened up in Davis. And they make very good appetizers, and we're going to be eating some flautas and some maybe some little tacos or something. And there will be poetry, too. I'm going to read a few poems from my new book called Spare Parts and Dismemberment. It's going to be just a celebration of literature and friends, and so far... I don't know how those Facebook invites go, but if everyone shows up from Facebook, it's going to be a fire hazard.
I bet. Tell us the date, time, and location.
It's going to be at Soul Collective, which is on 21st and Broadway in Sacramento. And it's going to be at 7 o'clock. And I don't know the exact address. I think you might have it, or maybe I do.
I can find that, and that's this coming Friday, the 3rd of June.
Exactly.
At 7 o'clock, right there at 21st and Broadway. People can find that. Just follow the crowds, listen for the jubilation, and, of course, the fire department will probably be parked out front.
Exactly. Exactly.
Excellent. So you had mentioned that this particular event is going to be catered by Tres Hermanas. And I know from having bought a copy of the book a couple of weeks ago and having heard you read from it, that you do explore that Latino, Chicano part of yourself as a theme that comes up in the book. And some great Latino writers, such as Jimmy Santiago Baca, has said, "I'm very excited about Josh's poetry. I can't wait to see his work bloom, spread, shoot up, and root down through the days and years ahead. This is a poet to watch, to take serious, to support and love." So those are very kind words from Jimmy Santiago Baca. And I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about how you see yourself and how your Chicano heritage is manifested in your new book, Spare Parts and Dismemberment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was strange kind of living in Davis, moving from Boston, going to Davis. I didn't really pay too much attention to my heritage. You know, my grandma, who lives in Los Angeles, we didn't visit her all that much as I grew older. So I was kind of estranged from my roots a little bit. And as I got older, you know, I started to become curious about, you know, where I came from and who I am and my genealogy and that kind of thing. So it's been interesting to discover my Mexican heritage and to realize exactly how far I kind of escaped from my Mexican heritage at certain times. But it is interesting to kind of recapture some of that. In a book.
And you're returning to it in the book and in some of the topics that you've covered in the book. Do you feel that that you have kind of an ironic distance from that Mexican heritage? I know it's a topic that you explore, but it's also one that you touch on with humor and even a kind of sardonic, sarcastic humor at times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's strange to grow up because I'm, you know, half Caucasian, half Mexican, and so it's kind of strange to grow up on that line where, you know, I've been able to reap some of even the benefits of being a Fernandez in terms of financial aid and grants and things like that. Although sometimes when you look at me, you might think I'm maybe like an Italian dude or something, you know.
Right.
And it's strange, some of the conversations I'm privy to, when in a room full of white people or, you know, even in a room full of Mexican people or family or, you know, you kind of just walk this strange line in America that I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Josh Fernandez. He is a longtime writer for the Sacramento News and Review. His new book of poetry, which is called Spare Parts and Dismemberment, was reviewed in the News and Review and has attracted a lot of interest, in part, Josh, because of this intense series of readings and also some of the other media work that you've done. Can you talk a little bit about some of the attention you've been able to garner with the release of this new book and the topics you explore in it?
Yeah, I mean, I never would have been able to promote this book properly if it wasn't for my work as a journalist, because I really wouldn't have had any idea how to go about it.
Right.
And I know the process is pretty painstaking. It's pretty frustrating, and especially for a book of poetry, it's not exactly going to generate automatic interest. So I'm kind of trying to, pull out every little trick that I know has worked, on my end as a journalist from people trying to sell me their stuff, and trying to take those and kind of, make them work for me. And, so far it's doing pretty well. I'm not really complaining. Not everyone's going to pick up a book of poetry, but, hopefully I can maybe turn a few heads with it,
Well, you certainly turned some heads when you read a week ago Thursday at the John Atsulis Gallery. And there's always a danger to write the sort of poetry that you do, and we'll give folks a sample in a minute, and that is that the kind of underground or underbelly topics that you explore, as well as the shock value of the sort of things that you admit or enumerate, that in and of itself could kind of take over the poetry of a lesser poet, that it might just be a list of outrageous statements, and that people, love you for the outrage, but may not find much to think about afterwards. But I, by contrast, I find that that your poetry, that it is poignant in places, and although you present yourself as kind of a hard-edged dude who's lived a difficult life at times, that you're still able to explore empathy and sympathy and nuance and reflectiveness that is the mark of a strong poet.
I'm a very sensitive man, Dr. Andy.
I've always thought that about you, Josh. I don't know if people at home will think that after you read this first poem. What's the poem that you've chosen?
Well, this first poem that I've chosen, I chose because it actually took place in Davis, California.
Excellent.
So I think I've cleaned it up enough that I can actually read it on the airwaves. I don't want to get blackballed from the Dr. Andy show.
Yeah, many people have suffered that fate, but we don't remember any of their names. And so.
Exactly. So anyway, this is, I wrote this after I went to a party. I used to drink and do a lot of drugs. And
yeah, I remember that.
Right, yeah, I think you remember that. And this is one time I woke up, and it was after that, was almost raped at this party. So I wrote something about that. It's called The Scream. His pants are down around his knees, and his penis, muddy and alert, stands like a soldier anticipating the first shot of war. This, I think, is rape. But I can't be sure until one thing touches another thing. So I think of the Eiffel Tower, how I'd never seen it without human bodies and love covering it, as if two bodies together in love is the most important thing. Fate is ephemeral, an afterthought of something in the background, like an airplane writing messages in the sky. I'll never go to Paris, ever. I can eat bread and cheese and fumble around like an a-hole here in America. In Paris, I hear there are 5 poets per square foot, and no part of the world, no matter how precious or morose, deserves that. His left eye trembles, and I've never seen anything so nervous. Even his aura is shaking. How delicate he must think I am to attack me so. How handsome he must think I am to attack me so. How magnificent he must think I am to attack me so. You know, there's a thin sheet of difference between fright and pleasure. Sometimes the paper breaks when you race too hard, so it's best sometimes to leave the mistakes alone. I knew a girl from Paris, and she told me one day in that flimsy, ridiculous accent that American men are brutish and insane. Thank you, I said, and walked towards the South End to drink whiskey and whittle my life away from a broken tree stump. One thing touching another thing isn't so bad. One thing touching another thing isn't so bad. One thing touching another thing isn't so bad. There is no pain in the physical, and the only difference between a rapist and a lover is the pitch of the scream.
That was Josh Fernandez reading a poem from his new book. It's called Spare Parts and Dismemberment, and his book release party is this coming Friday at the Soul Collective at 21st and Broadway in Sacramento, starting at 7 p.m. Josh, we're going to take a quick musical and public service announcement break, and then when we come back, I'll have some more questions for you.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. Quick calendar note, events coming up include a reading tonight by Dennis Schmidt. He's the author of several books of poetry, including We Weep for Our Strangeness in 1969, Double Exposures in 71, Goodwill Incorporated in 76, many other books, including About the Night, his selected and new poems in 1993. Dennis Schmitz has been published widely and received numerous awards, including the Shelley Memorial Award for Distinguished Achievement, a Guggenheim Fellowship, a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowships in 1976, 85, and 92. We were speaking before about how Josh Fernandez has been nominated for a Pushcart Prize. Dennis Schmitz co-edited the poetry selection of the 20th volume of the Pushcart Prize anthology. He's going to be reading tonight at Bistro 33 at 8:30. And then tomorrow afternoon at 4, the first ever Sustainable Poetry Variety Show is taking place at the Turtle House, 217 2nd Street in Davis. That will be on 2nd Street between A and B. And that will feature Spring Warren, author of a new book, The Quarter Acre Farm, and Eskimo Pie, a poet who's here in the studio and who will be joining us for the second half of this radio show. That takes place tomorrow afternoon at 4. Someone described it as the most liberal event he had ever heard of. Josh Fernandez is back. It must be strange for you to return to the city of Davis, having grown up here as kind of a ne'er-do-well and a rabble-rouser, And you come back and you're giving readings and you're kind of an established member of society, well regarded for your writing. Is it strange to return to downtown Davis and see some of your previous haunts?
Yeah, it's nice. I like it. I think this life now kind of suits me. I'm no longer nervous and I'm a little more comfortable than I was. So it's nice to return and be welcomed.
That's great. I know that one way that you've formed a community of sorts is through Facebook. You've got a great number of friends on Facebook and use that not mostly to promote your literary events, but though that comes up from time to time, but to comment on the city, the people that you engage with, and also to raise money for good causes. And I'm wondering if you could, because this is a technology show as well as poetry, I'm wondering if you could touch upon the different ways that you've used Facebook or entertained people on Facebook.
Yeah, definitely. It's really a great, not just a tool, but a method of communication for me, especially because I don't really go outside a lot, and I like to stay home and write and read and, watch TV. And it's a great way for me to kind of keep people on my side, keep people interested in what I'm doing, make them laugh and make them want to know what I'm saying. And then every now and then drop them little nuggets of, promotion or, fundraising. I was able to raise a lot of money for cancer, for the American Cancer Society that way. Just say everyone throw in $5 and so I ended up raising, $1,700 just recently.
That's great. I know that all the running you do has been an important part of your recovery from the drug and alcohol addiction that you spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could say something about that relationship. Why has running been important for you as a recovering addict, and how has it been important for you as a writer?
Yeah, I was lucky to kind of stumble upon it. My friend who I've known since kindergarten in Boston, he kind of turned me on to running. And basically, it's just replaced everything bad in my life. And so, I can use it as a crutch. I can use it as alcohol. If I'm feeling really good and I want to go out and do something, I just go running, and then I'll run really well. Or if I'm feeling badly, I'll go out and run. And I've written, almost half of my book was written just on a run. So I can really hammer out some good ideas and hammer out some bad ideas when I'm on my runs. And it sounds pretty strange, and I never thought I'd be saying something like that. But if it works, I'm totally willing to do it. And so it's really helped me quite a bit.
That's great. Now, when you hammer out those poems, is that mostly an internal hammer, or do you bring pen and pencil? Do you bring a tape recorder? How does that work?
No, it's all internal, and it's just, I forget maybe 50% of what I think of on my runs, but I figure the other 50% is pretty good if I, keep thinking about it, and I think about it enough to remember what I'm saying. And sometimes I'll just come up with an idea, and then I'll come back to the computer and jot it down. And, a lot of the times it won't be anything, but, there's the rare time that something will come out, and it's pretty good.
It sounds like productivity has been another crutch or tool or whatever you want to call it to help you keep the demons away and feel like you're doing something important or at least interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I found writing, and thank God I found writing, because I don't know what I'd be doing without it. And it's just, it really is an outlet. It's just this release. And I have all this weird stuff going on in my brain that, I need to get out somehow. And before I didn't know how to get out. And now I just know I just have to write it down, go running, things like that. So, yes, and it feels so new because I haven't done it for that long. So, it's at this point in my life, it's really exciting to be doing all this.
Excellent. Good for you. Well, Josh Fernandez is my guest this afternoon. If I remember correctly, your website is josh-fernandez.com.
That's it. Yeah, visit it. I'm going to update it more often, but I have a lot of stuff up there right now.
That's great. Can you read us one more poem, Josh, before we let you go?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll read a shorter one, since I know you have a big schedule going on over there.
It's out of control how overwhelmed we are on the radio.
I know. And I want to hear Eskimo Pie, so I'll make it quick.
All right.
So this is called Broken Stories from an East LA Kitchen that I wrote for my grandma, who just died a few years ago. Grandma said, "Mijo, give me that rolling pin." The sound of her fist against the dough went pom, pom, pom. And then she yelled something in Spanish that I couldn't understand. A cloud of flour swelled into the half-light of the setting sun while Geraldo played on the TV, shouting at a skinhead to a parched crowd thirsty for blood. My mother, pale for a Mexican, read the LA Times, so comfortable in Grandma's dusty apartment that she could have melted into the brown of that corduroy couch, raised her head and mouthed lyrics in halftime, like a record on the wrong speed. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? In the kitchen, I watched tortillas bubble while Rebecca tried on Grandma's clothes in the bedroom. She came out wearing a wig twice too big and a string of rosary beads wrapped loose around her neck, and we laughed until our bellies hurt. Grandma tore a tortilla in two, took a bite, gave the other half to me, and said, "Remember these times, mijo. They are the stories of who you are. Remember the good. God knows the bad. He knows your heart, forgives you." Mom said, "Remember, sometimes there are broken stories, too, with edges sharp as nightmares that will cut you to pieces if you fall. Remember, mijo. Remember."
All right. That was Josh Fernandez. He's the author of a brand new book of poetry called Spare Parts and Dismemberment. If you're hoping to look at this book or to meet Josh, then you can do so this coming Friday night at the Soul Collective at the corner of 21st and Broadway in the city of Sacramento. You can see Josh, many of his friends, followers, minions, all the people who would love someday maybe to be an intern so that he can keep churning out great poetry and not being distracted by everything that needs to be done in order to be a public poet in 2011. Josh, it's been a pleasure to have you on the radio show. I'll look for more of you at josh-fernandez.com and on Facebook. Thanks very much for joining me on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stick around, folks, because Eskimo Pie is here in the studio. We're going to talk some more poetry and talk about an event that happens tomorrow afternoon at 4. It's the first annual sustainable poetry and variety show happening at 217 2nd Street, the Turtle House in downtown Davis. Won't that be fun? You can play a part. Details in a moment. Here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. You know, every week on the show, I'll let you know about one or two events that are coming up. Certainly every Monday night in the city of Sacramento, the Sacramento Poetry Center hosts a reading. Here in Davis, we have usually three or four readings a month. I think tomorrow evening, for instance, there'll be a big celebration of the graduate student poets in the Masters in Creative Writing program here at the University of California, Davis. Tonight is Poetry Night at Bistro 33 with Dennis Schmitz, and tomorrow, this first ever sustainable poetry variety show, about which I'll say more in a moment. When I want to find out about these events, there are a couple places I could go. Many folks are drawn automatically to the Sacramento Poetry Center, which has been around since 1979 and has done always really great work to promote local poets. We're lucky to have a poetry center in the Sacramento area. But I think the most complete and the best maintained calendar of Sacramento poetry, art, and music events is found at EskimoPie.net, spelled just as you would expect. And it's run by Eskimo Pie. She's my guest this afternoon. During the day, she has been a longtime employee of the University of California, Davis. But at night and on weekends, and probably at other times, she's been writing sheafs and sheafs of poetry. She's a certified docent and gardener for the UC Davis Arboretum. We'll say more about why that's relevant in a moment. And a longtime board member of the Sacramento Poetry Center. She's the author of several chapbooks, including Eskimo Pie Dreams, Matsuyoi, 50 Haiku for the Moon, The Cook Inlet Poems, Border Crossing, A Celtic Epic, and 200 San Juan Ridge Haiku for Lou Welch. She's placed poems in dozens of local and national journals and has worked as a poetry and journal editor for more than 25 years. Eskimo Pie, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, Dr. Andy. I just raced over here from my office.
Excellent. You made it in plenty of time. Now you can relax and we'll talk about poetry. I want to make sure to highlight this event that you're participating in tomorrow, the Sustainable Poetry Variety Show. But first, let's talk a little bit about your website. How long have you been maintaining EskimoPie.net, and what was the original inspiration for that important local cultural site?
Well, this is the 10th year that I've been doing it, and I had always wanted to edit a magazine. And back in the early 2000s, that's when the internet was really starting to gear up. And just one day I thought, I'm just going to go for it. And I just launched this website. It was just really tiny with a few pages. And I just sent an email to all my friends, and it just went from there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It must be a lot of work to keep up with all of the events that you list on the calendar. Say something about the work process for that particular part of your website.
Well, I intentionally, in some ways, have kept the website small, like not really advertising. It's kind of only word of mouth, because I didn't want to overwhelm myself, and in a way, this kind of ties into the theme of sustainability for tomorrow's reading. I wanted to do a website that was very sustainable, that I could keep up, and so I just kind of update the calendar on a monthly basis, and I usually put up the work of a poet and a fiction writer about once a week,
mm-hmm.
and just so that I can sustain it, and that's how I've been able to do it for 10 years.
Excellent. In terms of poetry venues in Sacramento or Davis or others that you advertise, What are some wonderful gems that maybe a lot of people listening might not know about that they should go check out if they want to find some fine poetry?
Well, there's there's a couple of different poetry readings every night of the week, and I think you just need to go and look at people's web pages. I try and put links on EskimoPie.net where possible. And just go to the readings and get a feel for it, and there's different types of communities, and some people are all into slam poetry and rapping and ranting, and other people are reading their nature poetry, and I've kind of moved from the ranting and raving towards the nature poetry in the last 10 years myself. So
it's, I almost called it an evolution, but we could call it a change in emphasis of your own poetry, and therefore it's entirely appropriate that you take part in this sustainable poetry show tomorrow. Let me read a little bit from the press release, if that's all right with you. Australian writer and poet Pippa Wishaw is excited to present a special event, the Sustainable Poetry Variety Show, on Thursday, June 2nd at 4 p.m. Poets, musicians, and other talented artists will perform outside on the front porch of the Turtle House at 217 2nd Street in Davis on the theme of sustainability. Featuring there will be Spring Warren. She was on this show about, maybe 5-6 weeks ago. She's the author of a new book, The Quarter Acre Farm, where she gives an account of deciding, despite all resistance, to take control of her family's food choices, get her hands dirty, and create a garden in the yard of her Davis home. She is going to be reading from that book. She's the author of an award-winning novel, Turpentine, from 2008. And the subtitle of her book, The Quarter Acre Farm, is How I Kept the Patio, Lost the Lawn, and Fed My Family for a Year. And then also Eskimo Pie will be there. Amy Champ, who you got to introduce not too long ago, she's going to be there tomorrow afternoon. And I just heard from a musician yesterday, Rosemary Capps, and she's going to be doing some a cappella singing. Okay. So, and there'll be some other surprises as well over at the Turtle House tomorrow afternoon. But you spoke about maintaining a sustainable website, Eskimo Pie. Can you say something about sustainability as it's come up as a theme in your own work?
Well, I grew up in Alaska in a small town of about 500 people, and I think that was the setting, literally and figuratively, for the rest of my life. We didn't have any stores to go and buy anything at, and we recycled everything, and we had to take our own garbage to the garbage dump. And when you do those things, you start realizing how much you're using and how much you're throwing away, and you start recycling more, and you don't buy as much. I mean, I think the first time I went into a mall was when I was 13 years old in California. It's just kind of a different mindset, and I've just held on to that just kind of naturally through all these years, and it's always been a big part of my writing. And when I became, quote, a poet, the first poem I wrote as an adult was called The Death of Nature, about how we're killing off nature and how we would all die, and then, you know, nature would be happy then.
Right.
So, and it's, right now it's just that whole theme of sustainability is really coming to the forefront of everyone's consciousness.
Absolutely, and it's one that recycles through the imagination and attention of Davisites. Not only because of our focus on bicycling as a way of avoiding using too much gasoline, using too much energy, but also because of events that happen in and around the city of Davis and on campus, events such as the Whole Earth Festival, the events sponsored by the Endangered Domes on campus, as well as events even sponsored by our Davis Food Co-op. There are many opportunities to find out more about ways that you can be a thoughtful consumer and producer of your own goods and others here in the city of Davis. Well, Eskimo Pie, we're going to take a quick musical break here, a public service announcement. And then when we return, I hope that you'll share a few poems with listeners to the radio show.
Yeah, sounds good.
This is Dr. Andy, and you are listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, right here on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
Children in hospitals who face days or even weeks of recovery time, homework does more than keep them up to date in school. It can provide a sense of normalcy and focus. While most of a child's day involves physical recovery and healing, schoolwork can help boost mental health. It can remind children that their familiar daily routine still exists outside the hospital. At Shriners Hospital, this type of continuous learning is either provided by teachers from local school districts or by teachers on staff at the hospital. Shriners Hospitals provide free orthopedic and burn treatment to children under 18. If you know a child Shriners can help, call 1-800-237-5055. Or visit www.shrinershq.org.
You're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much to Ishar, who phoned in earlier to remind me to let you all know where I'm going immediately after this radio show. I'll be heading over to Bistro 33 for the poetry reading at 8:30 tonight with Dennis Schmidt. But right after this radio show, I'll be heading to an event that runs from 6:30 to 9:30 tonight. And that is the Technicultural Studies and Film Studies End of the Year Party. That's tonight in the Technicultural Studies building, which is behind the art building. There will be food, film, video, animation, music, electronic art, and really the coolest people that you are likely to find in the city of Davis. I say this not only because I teach for technicultural studies, but because I've met a lot of those people, and it's always such a pleasure to talk to them about their work. Technicultural studies is a big box where people are taught to think outside the box. Technicultural studies graduates will be there. They'll be showing off some of their senior projects and capstone projects, and there'll be a lot of other students, and free food. So you're invited. There's no obligation. There's no cost. There's just a lot of camaraderie and technicultural fun. Again, that's tonight, Wednesday, June 1st, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Technicultural Studies Building on the UC Davis campus. To find out more, head over to Technicultural Studies, or maybe it's just technicultural.ucdavis.edu. You can also put any of this in your favorite search engine and find out details. If you jump on Facebook, you'll also find out which of your friends are going to be there. Let's just see, according to Facebook, I'm going to have 14 friends at this particular event. Maybe you as well. If you see me, I'll be the only guy there with a tie. Make sure you introduce yourself. Eskimo Pie is here, and we've been talking about poetry and her work in the community to promote other poets. But now, why don't we hear some examples of her work? Do you have anything more introductory to say before you share with us a poem?
Not really. I'll just go ahead and introduce this poem. It's kind of on the theme of gardening. Tomorrow, there's going to be this woman there who wrote this book called The Quarter Acre Farm.
Right.
So I thought I'd read a garden poem. And this is actually in the a form called Paradell, which I don't normally write in this form, but you write the first line and then repeat it and write a second line, repeat it, and then take those first two lines and write the last line of your stanza. And you repeat that a couple of times, and then the last stanza, you take all the previous words and use them for that stanza.
Great. Let's hear an example.
This is called A Garden Paradell. Everyone said I was crazy. Everyone said I was crazy. Thinking of creating a garden without power tools. Thinking of creating a garden without power tools. I was crazy thinking of creating a garden without everyone and said power tools. I covered and killed the lawns with black plastic. I covered and killed the lawns with black plastic. Dug up weeds with my bare hands, dug up weeds with my bare hands. With black plastic, I covered the lawns. With my bare hands, dug up and killed weeds. I planted native water-free plants. I planted native water-free plants. No pesticides, fertilizers, found objects as paths. No pesticides, fertilizers, found objects as paths. I, free as native paths, planted free found plants, no pesticides, water, fertilizers, objects. Everyone was crazy, dug up and killed native plants, covered lawns with pesticides, fertilizers, black power tools, and objects of plastic. I, thinking, said no. I, creating, planted a garden with my bare hands, without water. I, free as weeds, found the path.
That's very nice. Tell us the title one more time.
A Garden Paradell.
A Garden Paradell. Great. Eskimo Pie, I spoke earlier of the great number of books and chapbooks that you've put out. If people wanted to find out more about you and your work, if people wanted to buy a copy of one of your books, where would you send them? Or would you send them to your website?
They can just go to EskimoPie.net, and down at the very bottom, there's like a biography there. And also they can just email me at EskimoPI@JPS.net.
Excellent. And I saw on Facebook that you were telling people about this particular event. What do you think generally of this idea of linking some of the attention to ecopolitics and sustainability that we've been talking about with poetry and the arts? Do you think it's a natural link, an automatic one? Do you think there's some friction there? What are your thoughts about what part poetry should play in sustainability or vice versa?
Well, I think it's a natural fit. I mean, just looking at the legacy of American poets, and we have Walt Whitman and just our other great writers, Thoreau, they were environmentalists. We just have that history in America, which unfortunately in the 20th century, environmentalism in one way was overcome by capitalism and consumerism, and now there's a movement back towards that. But I think that poets have always had a kind of a sustainable nature. I mean, you have to slow down and stop and contemplate in order to write poetry. Just the act of writing poetry itself is very natural and sustainable.
That makes sense. And I'd say, too, that the piece of paper with a pen, it's kind of like the poor man's canvas. You can be out there in the wild and you can just sit down and write what occurs to you, write what you see. You don't have to make the commitment of the novelist. You don't have to carry a palette around as a painter would. It's a different sort of not only sustainability, but portability that's available to the poet.
Yeah, and a lot of poets are poor, too, right. Which we kind of in some ways treat as a joke. But a lot of poets are riding their bikes and recycling and just because we're kind of on the fringe, and it's, I think, harder sometimes for poets to get, quote, normal jobs or jobs writing poetry. So we kind of have to live outside of the normal consumerist world to create our art.
Excellent. I think you're right. Let's take another quick musical break, and when we return, I'm going to share with you a public service announcement, and then we'll hear one more poem from my guest, Eskimo Pie. Again, this event that we're talking about is tomorrow afternoon. It's the first ever sustainable poetry variety show, and it happens at Turtle House at 217 Second Street on the front porch. The media contact is Pippa Wishaw at Pippa Wishaw, W-H-I-S-H-A-W, at gmail.com. She's Australian. You can also find out more, I believe, at poetryanddavis.com. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Here's an important message from KDBS. Sacramento Food Not Bombs is serving every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. in Cesar Chavez Park on 10th and I Streets in downtown Sacramento. Food Not Bombs provides free vegetarian meals to people in need. To find out how you can help by volunteering or by donating goods, email sactofoodnotbombs@yahoo.com. This public service announcement brought to you by your friends here at KDVS, your campus and community radio station. Well, next we're going to hear from Eskimo Pie. She's here in the studio, and she's prepared another poem for us. What is the title of this one?
Okay, this is a poem I wrote when I spent the weekend with a friend of mine who had a cabin up in the mountains, and we were off the grid for the whole weekend.
Great.
This is called 2 Days. The two-story A-frame, no phone, no TV, no electricity, surrounded by hollow forest. He shouts, "Becky," echoes to amuse me, wander through dry weed field, yellow cowbell, blue hot rock, granite sun. He feeds me every hour. Black settles around the window panes. He orchestrates the kitchen stove, mixing up the sparks, hacks of pine. I show him the correct way to split wood. The axe crack thud on pine-filled shoe of woods with high blue birds. Thin smoke, thin air. He boils coffee, barbecues for me, said the others could not handle 2 days of silence without electric infusions. This small vacation, an eccentric intrusion into my life. The poetry bubbles up like blue earth wine, pours over us like a patchwork of stars. They are free. Trees sing, they sing.
That's very nice. I like that. When you talk about going off the grid for 2 days, you live as we might have in, say, the foothills or the Sierras 50 or 100 or even 200 years ago. So we didn't, there were fewer opportunities 200 years ago. But it touches upon a kind of timelessness that we often associate with poetry as well. And when you bring up the stars in that particular poem, that's a trope that, for instance, William Butler Yeats and many other poets before and after him have used to talk about timelessness, whether it be, you know, timelessness of love or affection or what have you. But here, you really get a sense from that poem, in part from its setting and also this ancient act of chopping wood, that the speaker has a connection with that with those ancient traditions, and that's something that we turn to poetry for as well, to kind of pay attention to the things that we don't notice because we're rushing too much. So I thought that was really well done. This is an idea, or these are some of the ideas that Gary Snyder, when he taught here at UC Davis for many years, introduced to students in his poetry classes and his poetry workshops, who have been some teachers who have been important or influential for you in terms of finding your voice as a poet?
Well, at Davis, I took a lot of science classes and actually got a science minor. The first class I took was wildlife ecology, mm-hmm. So I've always been interested in nature. I took a class from Scott McLean mm-hmm. on nature and humans, and that was very enjoyable, reading a lot of the great books throughout history that dealt with nature, starting even way back with Gilgamesh and the monster in the woods and,
right.
You know, humans dealing with wild nature. I had a primate behavior teacher who really influenced me. I almost went into animal behavior, and I still might do that when I finish my first career here at Davis in a couple of years.
Interesting. Great. Well, Eskimo Pie, I will see you tomorrow afternoon at 4 at the first ever Sustainable Poetry Variety Show. And that'll be at 4 o'clock at the Turtle House at 217 2nd Street here in the city of Davis. That'll go from 4 until 5 or 5:30, depending on how long we can sustain the attention of the people sitting on the front lawn. And then tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I hope to see some of you at the reading by Dennis Schmitz at Bistro 33. That'll be at 8:30 tonight, Wednesday, June 1st, at 226 F Street. Dennis Schmitz is a longtime professor of poetry and creative writing at Sacramento State University, CSUS. He has co-edited the poetry section of the 20th volume of the Pushcart Prize anthology, written a great number of books, won many important awards, and has inspired a great number of students, including Raymond Carver. He'll be reading tonight at 8:30 at Bistro 33 as part of the Poetry Night reading series. If you'd like to find out more about that, then you can head over to poetryindavis.com. I'd like to thank you, Eskimo Pie, for coming on the radio show.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow afternoon. I'd also like to thank Josh Fernandez, who I'm sure hopes that you'll attend his event. And that is Friday evening at 7 at 21st and Broadway, Soul Collective. It's a celebration of his new book, which has just been published, and it's called Spare Parts and Dismemberment. If you'd like to find out more about any of this, you can go to poetryindavis.com. Cool and Deadly, starring DJ Tangosaurus Rex, will be coming up in just a few minutes. So I hope you'll stick around for that, and I hope that you'll join me next Wednesday and every Wednesday afternoon at 5 for another edition of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. This has been Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week. Thank you.